live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Turks, Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparyan with you guys. And we've got a very full show for you guys. Some fun topics like Dave Chappelle and Melania Trump's renegotiated prenup. Some serious topics as always. And as always, thank you for keeping us strong and healthy. TYT.com/go to make that happen. We're at 62,000, which is a great number. But we are far behind from trying to get to 200. So if you can help with that, that would be amazing, and we love you for it. All right, lots of show to get to. Anna, let's take it away.
All right. Many are calling to defund the police and redirect that money to programs, social programs that would actually help empower disenfranchised communities. And some are asking, well, how do you do that exactly? And what you should be looking into is how much money Derek Chauvin, who murdered George Floyd in broad daylight, can expect to receive from his pension, even if he is convicted of second-degree murder. So he actually stands to collect somewhere between $1 million to $1.5 million in his pension. And it doesn't matter that he's been fired. It also doesn't matter if he gets convicted of second-degree murder. Chauvin, according to CNN, still stands to benefit from a pension partially funded by taxpayers. While a number of state laws allow for the forfeiture of pensions for those employees convicted of felony crimes related to their work, this is not the case in Minnesota. So the Minnesota Public Employees Retirement Association confirmed to CNN that 44-year-old Chauvin would still remain eligible to file for his pension as early as the age of 50. While a number of factors are used to calculate the pension benefits, Chauvin would likely be eligible for annual payments in the ballpark of $50,000 a year or more if he chooses to start receiving them at age 55. So pensions for police officers are actually incredibly generous. They're partially funded by the workers themselves, meaning the cops themselves. And then there's a portion of it that's funded by taxpayers in the given city. And so some are questioning whether this makes sense, especially when many municipalities throughout the country are really strapped for cash right now. Well, they had been strapped for cash, and coronavirus didn't make the situation any better. And then, of course, more importantly, there's the moral question of whether it makes sense for someone like Chauvin, who could be convicted of second-degree murder, to be able to collect these types of benefits.
Yeah, so we're going to ask you guys about the more difficult part of this question in a second. The easy part is, yeah, every jurisdiction should have a law saying that if you are not just a cop, but, you know, firefighter, teacher, whatever kind of public employee, and you're convicted of corruption or murder or abuse, something along those lines, you should not get your pension. Now, you should get back the money you put in, even if you're convicted of anything. But having the taxpayers pay for someone who committed a brutal murder in some jurisdictions is just corruption or child molestation. But not all jurisdictions. So even in those cases, in some of the jurisdictions, some of the states, no, you still get your pension funded by the taxpayers. So, no, that doesn't make any sense. That should be easy. But even then, the police unions are so overwhelmingly strong in so many different places that they just will not even entertain this. Ironically, it reminds me a little bit of the NRA. Now, the hard part of the question is, look, the taxpayers pay for all these public employees, and this is where the unions are the strongest, and they do negotiate terrific benefits for them. And I want, look, to be fair about this, because a lot of the headlines are that Chauvin could get $1 million or $1.5 million, and we just mentioned that because it's true. At the same time, that is the accumulation of 20 or 30 years of pension at a minimum of $50,000. I think given the structure of his pension and given the fact that he almost certainly did overtime throughout those years, he's probably going to get significantly more than $50,000. But that being said, it's not like he gets a lump sum of $1 million. Congratulations, you murdered George Floyd. Here's $1 million. That's not how it works. Okay, so let's be fair about that. So now the super difficult part is, this is why a lot of the unions work with the Democratic Party. Because it seems like a mystery to a lot of folks. Why do they support corporate Democrats? The unions, honestly, with the big companies, get their asses handed to them by the giant companies, and the Democrats help the companies and not the unions. Mm-hmm. So it's always been a giant mystery. Why the hell do the unions ever work with Democrats, especially the corporate Democrats? Progressives, I totally get, because progressives are ideologically aligned. And the answer is partly because of the public sector unions, because those the Democrats do control in Democratic areas. Now, the funny thing is, the teachers union usually backs the Democrats more than anybody else, but the teachers get their asses kicked left and right throughout this country and almost never get wage increases. But the police union is the strongest, and they get whatever they want. And that's part of this story.
Yeah, and just to buttress your point about how it's not like, you know, he worked for a year and he's going to get this $1.5 million pension. There were, of course, other cops involved in what happened to George Floyd. They've also been charged and will be prosecuted. Two of those cops were actually rookies, so they are not going to receive a pension. But the third cop worked for some time, and he's likely to receive a pension as well. It remains to be seen what that number is. I haven't seen any analysis on that yet. So they do have to work a certain amount of time in order to collect that benefit. And the amount of the pension is dependent on how long they've worked and how much money they've put into it. But I actually wanted to go back to what you said about, well, you know, they should get the money that they put into their pensions refunded back to them. I thought about that. And I honestly, I'm kind of indecisive on that, because Derek Chauvin in particular had so many dozens of complaints regarding police brutality against him in his career. So like the argument would be, well, it's not fair. He worked, he earned that money, and he put it toward his pension. He should get that money back. But what kind of work did he engage in? It seems like he got involved in a lot of various cases of police brutality. And can you really make an argument that he deserves to get that money refunded to him? I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but I just find it, you know, it's not like, oh, he was a construction worker and he labored hard and he did a great job and he earned that money. With Chauvin, who knows, you know, what he's done to members of the Black community in Minneapolis that we don't even know about.
Yes, and obviously I hear you on that. And a dollar going back to Chauvin, even if it's his own money, is painful to anybody in the country, let alone this giant sum that he might get. The 15 violations show you what kind of a terrible person Chauvin is. But to me, what it shows you more is how sick and corrupt the system is. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody else gets 15 violations at work and you're a goner. But the police union is untouchable because they pay the Democrats, and the Republicans like it that they, you know, batter African-Americans and the poor and only protect the wealthy in this country. So you have a lethal combination of in this case, quite literally, of a union so strong that it takes anything it wants from the taxpayers. It then turns around and abuses the great majority of the taxpayers, and everybody bows down to them. So part of what we're going to ask you guys, because I think this portion of it is difficult, the Chauvin part is not difficult, but are cops getting paid too much in this country? And so we're tyt.com/polls/cops in this case. And by the way, if you go to tyt.com/polls, you'll be able to see all of our polls, and you can vote on as many of them as you want. And look, on the one hand, you say great job by the union by getting them terrific pensions. I mean, how many of us would like to start getting $50,000 a year for not working at a bare minimum at the age of 55? That sounds amazing. I went 15 years not making $50,000, and that was with a ton of work, an unbelievable amount of work. So, and
oh, God, let us whisper of a dream. Like, I just, 50,000, like, if you knew you're going to retire and you're going to have a comfortable, you know, retirement, that just, that sounds pretty damn good. Anyway, sorry. I was fantasizing for a minute. Go ahead.
I mean, it's a hard question, especially if you're on the left, because on the one hand, you want to congratulate the union for doing a good job sticking up for their members, right? On the other hand, this is not coming out of some giant public corporation like Amazon. It's coming out of our pocket, and it's going to these guys who feel like they're above the law and oftentimes do abuse the rest of us. So it's a tough question.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about a public figure who came out with his own thoughts regarding what happened to George Floyd. So Dave Chappelle has just released another Netflix special, and this one takes a much more serious tone. It's titled 8 Minutes, 46 Seconds, and of course, it's dedicated to George Floyd and calling out the police brutality that many protesters are, protesting against right now in various cities throughout the country. So this special is available to everyone. Even if you don't have Netflix, it was posted on the YouTube page for Netflix, called Netflix is a Joke. It's for their comedy content, obviously. But in it, Dave Chappelle calls out all sorts of unsavory, divisive, terrible figures who have either turned a blind eye to racism or, more importantly, have engaged in racism themselves through their commentary. People like Candace Owens, Laura Ingraham. But before we talk about that, I actually wanted to share one portion of his special that really hit me hard. And I'm going to read you what he said verbatim and try to keep it together while I do so. So he's talking about George Floyd, and here's what he said. This man, Derek Chauvin, kneeled on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Can you imagine that? This kid thought he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. He called for his mother. He called for his dead mother. I've only seen that once in my life. My father on his deathbed called for his grandmother. When I watched that tape, I understood this man knew he was going to die. And that was really the part of the video. I mean, the whole video was horrendous and difficult to watch. But when George Floyd was calling for his mother, I couldn't keep it together at all when I heard him calling for his mother. And then just seeing the unbelievable evil in Derek Chauvin, just not caring and just kneeling there and watching him die for nearly 9 minutes. But anyway, it's a powerful special. Yes, there are comedic moments, Cenk, but there's a lot of serious and important commentary as well.
Yeah, look, the great thing about celebrities, although ironically he says celebrities speaking out, is not necessary in this special. And he calls out Don Lemon for asking celebrities to speak out. It's ironic because he's a celebrity who's speaking out. And two, it's making a difference. Because, look, that line about George Floyd saying mama as he was dying, when we covered it on the first day, we could barely keep it together, when we talked about it. Then Killer Mike, I thought, had the most powerful speech during the Atlanta protests, and he also called that out. But when Dave Chappelle does it, since honestly he's a bigger celebrity than even Killer Mike, people are like, oh my God, that's such a good point. Yeah, he said mama, oh, that is powerful. So he got people to pay attention to that, and that's right. And the lack of humanity in Chauvin and the other three cops that are standing there to hear that and not have the instinctual reaction we all had. I mean, not just Chappelle and Killer Mike and us. You guys, when you hear that, I would have thought any human being would go, oh my God, he's about to die. I mean, when I saw it on the table, I'm like, he's about to die. You got to get off his neck. You got to get off his neck. And the bystanders are saying that. And the only ones who didn't have that human reaction were the cops. That's just a fact.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So one other thing that I appreciated about it, and I highly recommend you guys watch the full special. It's so good. You know, we're used to people like us calling out the Laura Ingrams of the world and the Candace Owens of the world. And I personally have been struggling with seeing individuals in my personal life, old friends, people I've known through school, whatever, posting that disgusting Candace Owens video where she defames and smears George Floyd. And it's been so tough to like stomach that because we know the truth, right? I don't think the vast majority of people, if you're not paying close attention to politics, you don't know who Candace Owens is. You don't know that she's a grifter who's literally being paid to say the disgusting things that she says. And so people think like, oh, here's a Black woman who has her own thoughts on what happened to George Floyd. Let me go ahead and share this. It felt so good to have someone like Dave Chappelle call her out for who she is and what she is, because honestly, I haven't really seen any high profile people do that. You know, she's been able to run her mouth and put out all sorts of defamatory garbage about victims of police brutality and victims in general. And she's only been challenged by people like us. And, you know, for all the applause we get for our platform, the truth is we're not viewed by as many people as Dave Chappelle, clearly. So it's just so, it's a relief to have someone call her out on such a high level and, you know, basically call her out for what she is.
Yeah. And of course, the influencers care about celebrities. So the every anchor on CNN cares what Dave Chappelle says. And that's why they have a bigger platform. And it's not necessarily even the viewership by itself. It's the amplification that celebrities bring to things. And so, like it or not, I think they have an extra responsibility. I mean, I go back to Democracy Spring, where we did a protest to get money out of politics. More people got arrested than has ever been arrested in Capitol Hill history doing civil disobedience. Not one media source other than the Young Turks cared. And then Rosario Dawson, who is phenomenal and a wonderful progressive, showed up on the last day. And then all the media showed up. Oh, my God, Rosario Dawson is getting arrested. So that's the shallow world we live in. And it's just the reality. I honestly, the part where Dave Chappelle calls out Candace Owens and Laura Ingram, in my opinion, was super mediocre. I'm keeping it real.
Really?
I think what he said about George Floyd was really powerful. But his calling out of Candace Owens and Lauren Ingram was, yeah, okay. And when we say people like us, I want to be clear. It's not like everyone on Twitter immediately knew when Laura Ingram, for example, says, shut up and dribble to LeBron James, but at the same time turns around and says, Drew Brees' opinion as an athlete needs to be respected, that's a giant hypocrisy. It didn't take us to figure that out. Everybody figured that out. Dave didn't even mention that, right? He just kind of insulted both of them. I'm glad he did. Right. But it wasn't like some trenchant observation where you're like, oh, man. And Chappelle does have that. I mean, he has that in. And that's how he got to be as big as he is, because he's amazing at those observations. In this case, it was just OK. But it had such a great impact that I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart. I'll give you one depressing note about Candace Owens. My wife got friends and family from as far away as Taiwan and China saying they had seen the Candace Owens video and asking her, oh, it turns out African-Americans in America don't like George Floyd and think he's a criminal. I was like, no, no. The only video they saw from a Black person in America was Candace Owens. And that's why they do that propaganda. And that's why it's so harmful and so toxic. So if it takes Dave Chappelle in a set, just in two sentences, calling her out to get Don Lemon and everybody else to pay attention. Great. I'm super glad he did it. And thank you.
Man, that is depressing. Well, I'm going to go ahead and sit with that for a minute and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Trump's ridiculous statements during what was described as a roundtable discussion in Dallas, Texas. It was a garbage discussion, and I'll tell you why. And later in the show, we will talk about my favorite story, which is Melania Trump teaching us all what the art of the deal really looks like. We'll be right back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Back on Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Members' comments. Cenk flexing triceps writes in. I haven't seen any stories by TYT on Paula Jean Swearingen winning her primary in West Virginia this week. She beat out Ojeda. I cannot accept that. Actually, you're going to have to, and so did Ojeda. I want to give all the credit in the world to Paula Jean Swearingen. So that was an all-star primary, which doesn't happen often on the Democratic side. And she ran a really tough race. And so congratulations to Paula Jean, and we'll have her on the show soon. She's a wonderful progressive. Wendy says, it's my birthday, and TYT gets a gift. Donated today because we must hashtag press on. Use my aspiration account, so planted some trees as well. It's a win-win. I love it, Wendy. Thank you.
Damn, getting things done. Happy birthday.
That's right. Aspiration.com/TYT in case you want to start put your money in a progressive place. That keeps it environmentally clean and helps plant some trees. Kitten Activist has a great point. Chauvin should only get the part of the pension he contributed, but it may go to the victim's family, and that would be a good thing. Rusty Spoke adds on to it. These are all of our members. Is his pension accessible in a civil suit if the family sues him? Now, I don't mind him getting the pension if it turns out George Floyd's family sues him and gets the money instead. So great point, guys. That's why I love doing the show with you. Lieutenant McGee says, just donated $50 at tyt.com/go. Keep fighting a good fight and stay strong. Thank you. And I noticed that you became a member on our Twitch channel too, twitch.tv/TYT, of course. Thank you for that. And guys, I'm not going to have enough time for all the YouTube super chats, but Andrew Grew, Can Do Without the Drama, Kylie Christensen, Parker, all of you, thank you for using YouTube Super Chat. And really, guys, also for the supportive messages. I really appreciate it because I know we do have a lot of haters, and you guys fight back in your own way, and we notice that. And so let's take a real quick look at the thermometer before I give you the last fun comment. So tyt.com/go, I want to see where we are. 63,367. Thank you, guys. Let's hope we can get to 65,000 here by the end of the day. You're the best. Last comment is Tracy, also a member. Man, I love how Anna says the word garbage. I hear her say that in my head all the time now. LOL. Agreed. We're LOLing. Okay. And thank you all for being members. You could use the join button on YouTube or Facebook and tyt.com/join on our website. All right. Anna, take it away.
Okay. During an event in Dallas, Texas, Trump claimed to have, quote, dominated the streets with compassion. And of course, he was talking about how protesters were treated in Washington, D.C. when he decided to use federal police and the National Guard to viciously attack them and clear the way for his ridiculous Bible-holding photo op. Now, during this event, he said all sorts of ridiculous things, including moments where he pretended to be concerned about police brutality. Let's go through some of the videos and we'll discuss. Take a look.
Americans are good and virtuous people. We have to work together to confront bigotry and prejudice wherever they appear, but we'll make no progress and heal no wounds by falsely labeling tens of millions of decent Americans as racist or bigots. We have to get everybody together. We have to be in the same path, I think, Pastor. If we don't do that, we have problems, and we'll do that. We'll do it. I think we're going to do it very easily. It'll go quickly, and it'll go very easily.
It'll go very easily. All we need to do is stop calling out people who are racist and making them feel uncomfortable, and that'll lead to unity. What a ridiculous statement, especially because he's exploited racial divisions in this country for his own political gain. I mean, obviously, I don't believe a word of what he has to say. The only time I believe him is when he slips up and says the quiet parts loud. But he's deeply racist. His father was deeply racist. His entire family and every organization he's touched has racist tendencies and racist issues. Like, he's just so full of it. And luckily, I haven't seen anyone in cable news say that he sounded presidential, because oftentimes all it takes is like one reconciliatory statement, and then you have like CNN reporters saying, you know, he sounded like he really understands the importance of this moment, presidential. I haven't seen any of that yet, but it was just nonstop lies and honestly downplaying of police brutality in this country. That's what this event was all about.
So if you want to hear presidential, I know that the press is not covering it that much, so it's hard to see it. But Biden's speech at George Floyd's funeral was presidential. Now, we give you all the context. The reality is Biden's proposals on police reform are weak sauce and not nearly good enough, and his track record on it is not great. But when I heard that speech, I was like, oh, that's what a president sounds like. Like, we'd forgotten. Like, Trump, in one sentence, in his best sentence, doesn't come within 5% of Biden's speech at George Floyd's funeral. So keep it real. Check that out. You can make the judgment call for yourself. Now, more importantly, in this case, for Trump, oh, you're going to solve racism really easily and quickly. Well, first of all, what's stopping you? You've had 3.5 years. If it's that easy and quick, why don't you just do it and we'll be done with it? God, that'd be a huge relief for all of us. I mean, of all the absurd, asinine things he's ever said, I know it feels like every day he has a new record, but does it get any more absurd than, oh, we can solve racism really easily and quickly? I mean, it's taken you over 70 years and you haven't solved your own racism, let alone anyone else's or society's. I mean, how does anybody listen to this guy and not want to throw up in their mouth? Like, do you really, MAGA guys, you really think that Trump can solve racism easily and quickly? Even you knuckleheads can't possibly believe that.
Jink.
And if you do Jink. Believe that, then why hasn't he done it? Is it because he's racist?
If they actually believed that Trump would do something about racism in America, they would not be Trump supporters. Like, look, I'm not even having a discussion about Trump supporters today. At this point in the game, okay, it's not 2015. It's now 2020, we've seen who Donald Trump is. I mean, if you were paying attention prior to the 2016 election, you would know, and it would be abundantly clear that he's racist. But at this point, if you support Donald Trump, you not only know that he's racist, you celebrate his racism. That's part of the reason why you support him, period. Like, that's what it is. And I'm not having a discussion. I'm not even going to entertain any type of debate or argument otherwise. But I do also want to just note that, look, this event was all about easing the nerves of his donors, who are, I'm sure, concerned that donating money to him would just be throwing money away, because he has like really hurt his approval rating thanks to how he's handled the pandemic and how he's handled protests throughout the country. And so I think that this was a way of easing his donors' nerves. And why do I say that? Because immediately after this event in Dallas, he went to a fundraiser. Okay, I'm going to go to the last graphic here. Afterward, Trump attended a re-election campaign fundraiser at a private home in Dallas, where couples were asked to give, get this, $580,600 each.
Wow.
Each. Okay, about 25 people were expected to attend. Kelsey Warren, the pipeline billionaire and top Texas GOP donor, hosted the fundraiser. That's what this was about. I mean, if Trump didn't have to worry about raising money from his donors, do you really think that he would even sound nearly as mild as he did in that statement? Of course not. He would play right into it. He loves the division. He exploits it all the time.
We don't have a democracy in this country. We just have an auction. I mean, how absurd is it that people are given $580,000 at a time to candidates? I always think of Bill Moyer's great analogies. Like, imagine a batter going up to the plate and giving the umpire $10,000 before he swings. Does anybody think that that umpire is going to call balls and strikes fairly? But we do that with politicians all the time. Oh, here's $580,000. I'm sure that that won't affect your judgment. Absurd. Wolf-pack.com. And Anna, I didn't know that part of the story. And so thank you for bringing that up. That's super relevant context here that very few people are covering. It's so true, because yesterday I got an email from a friend who's a lifelong Republican. And yes, I have one or two of those left. Okay. And he's a business person. I don't know if he's given donations to Republicans, but I'd be surprised if he hadn't. And in 2016, he was really, really torn because he can't stand Hillary Clinton. But he barely decided to vote for her because Trump seemed like he was too terrible a person, right? All caps yesterday, an email saying, "You guys were right. He is the worst." So any decent person, who, even if they were lifelong Republicans and gave money to Republicans, are saying, "No, no way, not this guy. This guy is the worst of the worst." So that's where we are. Yeah. And that's why, even with those horrible pipeline people that are trying to bribe the president down in Texas, et cetera, even some of them are like, "Could you please stop being so obviously racist? It's not good for business."
Exactly. And that's why, you know, during this talk he gave in Dallas, he pretended as though he was signing some sort of executive order that would rein in some of the police brutality we've been experiencing. And it's all empty nonsense, because there were no details, none, zero. So the Trump administration has not undertaken any of the steps he mentioned, among them action to encourage police departments across the country to meet current standards on things like de-escalating tense moments in minority interactions and communities, and pilot programs intended to have social workers join officers so they can work together. I mean, like, there's nothing to those proposals. Like, there are no details. What does it mean to have police departments across the country meet current standards on de-escalating tensions? What, the current standards are horrible. The current standards need to change. That's what this whole discussion is about. And the Texas Tribune reports, while light on details, Trump said his plan centered on economic development in Black and Latino communities going above the federal Opportunity Zone program. Okay, so let's stop right there. The Opportunity Zone program was basically a way to gentrify, give insanely wealthy developers giant tax cuts so they can go into minority neighborhoods in a lot of cases and basically develop and push those communities out. And by the way, that's the best case scenario under what would happen under his Opportunity Zone program. What they're actually doing is taking money and putting it into communities that are already developed, that are already wealthy. And it's a way of sheltering their money from taxes. That's what's been going on across the country with his stupid Opportunity Zone program. It hasn't helped poor communities at all. Anytime that program is implemented in minority communities, oftentimes people are pushed out of those communities. And so Trump is garbage. Everything that he has touched has fallen apart. Everything that he has touched has either enriched himself or his family. And so I'm not buying any of what he has to say here. And honestly, the truth is, this is about calming the nerves of his donors and trying to get his, you know, himself reelected. That's it.
Yeah, quick summary. The opportunity zones are opportunities for his real estate developer donors. Great. Number two, we're going to keep the current system as it is. No, the protests are the exact opposite. They don't want to keep the current system as it is. And number three, at the end, he said, defund the police. No, he's like, we should increase funding for the police. So, in other words, you'll get less than nothing, and you'll like it. And, gee, I can't tell why people think you're not going to solve racism really quickly and easily.
Now, finally, one last video. This is Donald Trump bragging about dominating the streets with compassion.
But we're working to finalize an executive order that will encourage police departments nationwide to meet the most current professional standards of force. And that means force, but force with compassion. But if you're going to have to really do a job, if somebody's really bad, you're going to have to do it with real strength, real power. And I said, and people said, oh, I don't know if we like that expression. I said, we have to dominate the streets. You can't let that happen, what happened in New York City, the damage they've done. You have to dominate the streets.
You know, Cenk, I actually agree with him. We do need to dominate the street, Wall Street. We need to finally dominate Wall Street, because that's the street where most of the crime happens in this country. It's just that you have men, you know, cocaine snorting men wearing suits doing the crime. And they're far worse than any of the petty crime that our local police departments go after, while our federal government ignores the actual crime that's happening in Wall Street right now.
Yeah, that might be true, Anna, but we really do have to dominate them with compassion. Now, very forcefully, very powerfully, very strongly, but with compassion, okay?
So
what does dominate with compassion mean? That's not even that's not even close to a thing. Unless it's like at some BDSM site or whatever it is, I don't know what dominate with compassion means. So, right, this is basically Trump pretending to fight racism throughout that entire speech. Oh, we'll fix it very quickly and very easily, but we will dominate you and control you in the street with compassion. Okay, so bottom line is, this is basically spitting in our face and saying, no, we're going to increase funding for cops. We're not going to do a damn thing about racism. We're going to give more breaks to our real estate developers. And we're going to dominate you. So that's my answer for you looking for just a tiny bit of justice. The answer is hell no. That's been Trump's answer from day one, and it's still his answer today.
When we come back from the break, Trump will answer whether he chose Juneteenth to host a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma for racist reasons. Come right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back on Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. First of all, a note about one of our sponsors, NordVPN.com/TYT. I was talking to one of our tech guys the other day, and I asked him, this is a real story, do you absolutely need a VPN on your computer? And he looked at me like I was from a different planet. He's like, of course! How are you going to protect your computer if you don't have a VPN? What kind of a monster would not do that, right? So NordVPN gives you 70% off of 3-year deal and an extra month free, but you got to use NordVPN.com/TYT. I also want to tell you about this shirt. So the reason I'm telling you about the shirt is not the shirt itself, but because we now have masks that say the same thing. If you can read this, you're not practicing social distancing. Okay, so this is already an awesome shirt. I get compliments on it, which are ironic, every time I'm out, right? But now we have masks that say it. ShopTYT.com. Awesome. Okay. Now let me read comments real quick. Aaron says, just gave $15, Cenk. I just want you to tell me that I'm a strong progressive. Aaron, I just did. You are. Thank you for participating with TYT.com/go. Chris Marl says, love the Twitch stream last night, Cenk. Glad to be able to support TYT on multiple platforms. Thank you so much. Two last ones, which I love. Hiroshi Loves You on YouTube Super Chat says, Trump was dominating his bunker. Nice job. And last one's from Twitter. You know, you got to use hashtag TYT live to talk to us. So Tim Joyce with a nice double entendre. Just donated another $15 to keep hashtag TYT live. So nice job, Tim. Love you guys. TYT.com/go to keep us healthy and strong. Anna, what's up?
During a recent interview on Fox News, Donald Trump claimed that his decision to host his first rally since coronavirus and this pandemic started in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on Juneteenth had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that he's a piece of racist garbage. Take a look.
Your rally in Oklahoma is set for June 19th. Was that on purpose?
No, but I know exactly what you're going to say.
Well, and I'm just asking. I've not got anything to say.
Think about it as a celebration. My rally is a celebration. We're starting. In the history of politics, I think I can say, there's never been any group or any person that's had rallies like I do. I go and I just say, get me the biggest stadium, and we fill it up every time. We've never had a vacancy.
So Harris, he does not exactly answer your question. Do you think he understands the historical significance of that day, of June 19th, which is 1 week from today? And do you think that perhaps that rally will be about race relations and about law enforcement?
So when you let that kind of breathe and you hear us go back and forth a little bit more, he says that they're going to use it for a celebration. And I don't know if he completely knows about the, you know, the Greenwood community and all of that. We didn't get into that. I was concentrating just on the thing that was really starting to draw some heat. And that is simply the date and the meaning for the Black community. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a really fair question that you're asking, Steve.
Yeah, Steve, I actually don't think it's a fair question because Donald Trump's own press secretary seemed to indicate that Trump actually did know the relevance of that date. Take a look.
The African-American community is very near and dear to his heart. At these rallies, he often shares the great work he has done for minority communities. When you look at the fact that this president got criminal justice reform done, that this president brought us the lowest African-American unemployment numbers in the history of our country, that this president made HBCU funding permanent. He's working on rectifying injustices that go back to the very beginning of this country's history. So it's a meaningful day to him, and it's a day where he wants to share some of the progress that's been made.
Oh, it's a meaningful day to him, meaning that it was purposely set for June 19th, and he allegedly knows what the relevance of that date is, right? I mean, it's amazing how they'll just release conflicting statements in the same week, sometimes in the same day, and then people just leave it alone.
So we're going to do a poll for you guys, but I'm going to give you context in a second too, but let TYT.com/polls/Juneteenth. But if you just go to TYT.com/polls, you'll see all of our polls, and we'll have the link in the description box. You should always check out the description box for more info. So in this context, I want people to understand, I think Trump having a rally on Juneteenth is not that big a deal. I think the problem is that he's having a rally on Juneteenth in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is within the context of African American history, is mainly known for the massacre in Tulsa that happened in 1921, where they burnt down Black Wall Street and killed hundreds of Black folks. By the way, very relevant, successful Black folks in this country. So when you put those two things together, it becomes what appears to be a slap in the face on purpose. So then you have a situation where if they say, oh, yeah, we did it in Tulsa on Juneteenth on purpose, that sounds terrible. If you admit that Donald Trump doesn't know Juneteenth, even though he's the president of the United States. That also sounds terrible. That's why you're getting the conflicting messages. Now, in reality, look, a lot of white Americans don't know about Juneteenth. So I'll tell you real quick what it is in case you don't know. It's celebrating the last Emancipation Proclamation declaration. So the Emancipation Proclamation was done 2.5 years before Juneteenth. And then we won the war. The Union won the war. But by the time a Union general got to Texas and declared that the slaves were free, that was June 19th of the year that we won the Civil War. And that's when the last of the slaves are technically and legally freed. And that's why they celebrated. I know how I'm going to vote in that poll. I think the chance of Donald Trump knowing what Juneteenth is next to zero. He's never cared. He's never bothered to check it out, etc. But somebody at the White House did know. So if I'm guessing, I would guess that Stephen Miller or someone like him figured out, let's put Juneteenth next to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and get that racist bullhorn cranking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's where the poll is. You can go to tyt.com/polls/Juneteenth. Again, tyt.com/polls/Juneteenth. We'll put a description box, we'll put a link in the description box below. Does Trump know what Juneteenth is? Yes or no? Go ahead and participate. We'd love to hear what you guys think. All right. So we have time for another story, which I'm super excited about because I like doing stories. It's what I'm paid to do. So let's talk about Trump's rally and what's likely to happen. Trump supporters who wish to attend his rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma next week will have to basically agree to not sue him if they contract a deadly virus because the Trump campaign refuses to implement any type of social distancing or the use of masks. So in order to apply for tickets, you get directed to a webpage that says the following. By clicking register below, you are acknowledging that an inherent risk of exposure to COVID-19 exists in any public place where people are present. By attending the rally, you and any guests voluntarily assume all risks related to exposure to COVID-19 and agree not to hold Donald J. Trump for President, Inc., and all the affiliates, directors, officers, employees, agents, contractors, you get the picture, liable for any illness or injury. So you need to click on that and agree to it in order to qualify for tickets to the rally. Also, the campaign is not expected to require guests to wear masks or socially distance at the event, as Trump has chafed at the optics of both. In fact, he was upset with the state of North Carolina for refusing to allow him to have the Republican National Convention, you know, abide by social distancing rules. And so he says he's moving it to Jacksonville, Florida instead, where people do not have to abide by those rules. But I also want to just quickly note that his polling in Florida isn't looking so good. So I'm sure that factored into his decision as well. But nonetheless, I mean, they're acknowledging that people are likely to contract a virus that's killing a lot of people if they choose to go to this rally and they don't want to be held reliable for or liable for it.
Wait, I don't understand. I thought it was safe to go to the rally. So why would you need a waiver if it's perfectly safe? Or are you willing to risk the lives of your own supporters for optics?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, look, you could say, and it's fair to say that there's been a lot of protests. And folks went to those protests, too. That's fair. And a lot of folks at those protests were on the left. But nobody at the protest said, don't wear masks. And we're not going to do social distancing. I'm not saying everybody at those protests did social distancing perfectly. Nowhere near it, right? But no one went out of their way to say, nah, it's not a good look for us. We'll look tougher if we're not wearing masks and social distancing. So that's Trump's point of view. And he's, you know, encouraging people to do that, but he knows that it's actually a risk to their lives. That's why he's like, look, later when you get sick and die, I just don't want you suing me. That's your problem, not my problem.
Right, and there's a huge difference between going to one of Trump's rallies because you find it entertaining, right? I'm sure his supporters will say that it's more than that. It's just that's their version of political activism. But honestly, this movement calling for an end to police brutality is incredibly important. And people have done a cost-benefit analysis and have decided, no, we're going to do what we can to stay safe, but we need to go out in the streets and demand justice, demand change. And I think that that's just way more important than, you know, all the other things that people have been crying and moaning about, right? Like, oh, I want to go to bars. I want to go to restaurants. I'm so mad. So I'm going to go out and protest about that. I think is ridiculous. But when it comes to a political movement like the one we're experiencing right now regarding police brutality, it's just important. And I see a lot of those protesters wearing masks and doing what they can to stay safe, despite the fact that it is difficult to socially do social distancing in that case. I also want to just quickly mention that coronavirus is still very serious. We're still in the middle of a pandemic, and the numbers are pretty horrifying. So, for instance, there are more than 2 million confirmed cases of coronavirus in the United States, according to Johns Hopkins University data, and more than 113,000 people in the country have died of the disease, okay? And the numbers keep going up. So more than a dozen U.S. states, including, and pay close attention to what kind of states we're talking about here, Arkansas, Florida, Nevada, Oregon, South Carolina have seen confirmed cases of new coronavirus increase in the last week at a pace faster than a week prior. And things are particularly bad in Florida. So Florida recorded its highest single day tally of new coronavirus cases, with nearly 1,700 reported infections in the state's health department reported on June 11th. So it's a serious virus that is not being taken seriously by Donald Trump. He's moved on. He doesn't even talk about it anymore. And he is putting people at risk by doing what he's doing.
I just checked the latest numbers. We're over 116,000 dead, which is it's just such a giant number. Now that's well over twice what the Vietnam War was. Look, the good news is we did do social distancing enough throughout the world. Some estimates say that it might have saved 25 to 30 million lives, the social distancing. The problem is if we relax it and then people start picking it back up, especially in the fall, it'll rage. So I'm so worried about it. We're all sick of staying at home, let's be honest, right? There's great parts to it, but we all want to go out and whether it's going to work, and some of you might not love going forward, going to work, good idea of going to work, but going to restaurants, going to plays, and et cetera. But it is what it is. So just be careful. Even if you're a Trump supporter, be careful, even though Trump's telling you not to. And Anna, to be fair, it is on Juneteenth, his rally. So all the people going there might be going to celebrate Black liberation. And so it might be similar to the protests in that way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that the fine people of Tulsa are all about that. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, well, at least the fine people of Tulsa go who wear MAGA hats to go see Donald Trump. I'm sure they're all about Black liberation in America. All right, guys, we got a giant post game for you today, including a stunning story about Melania Trump's prenup and how she wanted to renegotiate it. The machinations she used, amazing. I got to give her credit for it. But it turns out Melania Trump is a much worse person than even I realized. Drums. TYT.com/join to become a member. You can also hit the join button on YouTube and Facebook. We'll see you guys in the post game and have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.